Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today we're going to continue with our series called Holding On to Hope as we expand our theme for 2021 of Keep Hope Alive. You know, hope is something I'm sure you'll agree we all desperately need right now. This COVID virus has wreaked havoc in our country and, well, it's affected the lives of a lot of people in our church. We've seen quite a number of people get infected with the virus, most of whom have thankfully recovered. Sadly, a number of people have passed away and some families have even lost multiple family members. The truth is that these are desperate times we're living in. But thank God that even in the midst of where we find ourselves, we always have hope when our lives are anchored to Jesus. Friend, when your life is bound to Him and your trust is placed firmly in Him, when hard times come as they currently have, well, we can still look ahead and we can keep believing for better days to come. We can keep hope alive because Jesus Himself is still very much alive. You know, the Bible is really a book of hope. In fact, the word hope is found 135 times in the Old Testament and 65 times in the New Testament. That's a total of 190 times. The book with the most mentions of the word hope is in fact the book of Psalms, where we find that word 33 times. But what's very interesting is that the book with the second most mentions of the word hope is the book that comes right before Psalms, the book of Job. Here we find hope mentioned 22 times. Now, for those of you who are familiar with the story of Job, you would know that it details the hard times and the hurt that Job went through. In fact, when we think of a book of the Bible that focuses on suffering and trouble, we generally think of the book of Job first. But within this book, we see that hope rises in the midst of Job's hurt. And hope really becomes the key theme because Job chose to hold on to hope during the hardest seasons of his life. I want to speak to you today in part two of our series on hope for when life hurts. Hope for when life hurts. You know, in chapter one of the book of Job, the Bible records the events that took place to plunge Job's life into misery. Up until that point, well, his life was good. He had a wife, just one wife, and 10 children. He was a very wealthy man who had prospered. Job's various businesses were blessed by God. The Bible says he had many servants. He had plenty of livestock and his health was good. You know, pretty much for Job, life was awesome. But then we read from verse 13, and it says, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabians raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. I mean, that's pretty devastating. But then it says, while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. Another disaster we see. But while he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. And here we see that things just go from bad to worse. But then verse 18 says, while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home, and suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed and all your children are dead. He said, I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. You know, in a single day, we see that everything that Job had was lost. His business and livelihood were destroyed. And, you know, I'm pretty sure there wasn't any insurance cover back in those days. All his animals were stolen by the raiders and his servants were killed. And so that meant that not only did Job lose his business, but he also lost the opportunity to start up again. But on top of all the property and possessions that were taken, Job's 10 children all died in a single day. There was a story in the news recently that maybe you saw of a Durban family from Queensborough who lost 3 family members in the space of 3 days. A young woman who was about to get married, as well as both of her parents, all succumbed to COVID. You know, in our own church, we've had families tragically lose multiple family members too. Many have also lost their jobs and their businesses. And so we get a feel for Job's distress and the hurt that he feels because he lost everything, including his 10 children. You know, we've seen so much loss and hurt over these past few months. And like Job, there are people all around us now who are left trying to pick up the pieces, wondering how they're going to move forward. And again, like Job, people are hurting at the moment. Then when Job thought that surely things couldn't get any worse, chapter 2 tells us that Satan struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. Here we see that Job's health is now severely afflicted and he suffers terribly as a result. You know, again, unfortunately for Job at that time, there was no medical treatment like we have today. There were no hospitals where he could be cared for. And like everyone who experiences loss and goes through hard times, Job begins to grapple with why. Why are things the way they are? And he desperately tried to make sense of what had happened. And he got to the point, we will see in a moment, where he almost lost hope. The Bible says in Job chapter 3, verse 1, that at last Job spoke and he cursed the day of his birth. He said, "Let the day of my birth be erased and the night I was conceived. Let that day be turned to darkness. Let it be lost even to God on high, and let no light shine on it. Let that night be blotted off the calendar, never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear among the months." Wow. Listen, Job was in a dark place and one gets the feeling that he came very close to giving up in despair. He was a broken man. He was hurting and it almost seemed like he would be overcome. But fortunately, Job had one thing going for him. Job still had hope. He never stopped trusting God, and although he questioned why things had happened, he still put his hope in the Lord. Pastor Charles Stanley says, "You may go through difficulty, hardship, or trial, but as long as you are anchored to Him, you will have hope." You see, church, this is the important thing to remember. Hope doesn't deny reality. It just believes that God isn't finished working yet. Hope doesn't deny reality. It just believes that God isn't finished working yet. You know, we see here that Job didn't deny that these things had happened to him. He didn't try over-spiritualize things or by faith declare that it wasn't what it was. You know, like some Christians who declare themselves debt-free when clearly they are in much debt. Or others who declare themselves to be not sick when clearly the doctor's report shows that they are. Job accepted the facts for what they were, that trouble had come into his life. He was hurting, but yet he still held on to hope. And so let's have a look at a few of the responses of Job when life began to hurt for him. Firstly, we see that when Job was hurt, he stayed with God. When Job was hurt, he stayed with God. You know, Job's initial response to the hurt he experienced is incredibly powerful. And you know, having had his life devastated in a single day, the Bible records the following in chapter 1 from verse 20. It says that Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. In other words, he was hurting badly. But then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, "I came naked from my mother's womb and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." And in all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. You see, that's the great power that hope in the Lord gives us, because it anchors our lives to Jesus. And so when trouble comes, it prevents us from crashing out of the race of life, and it also stops us from drifting away from God, as so many do. You know, so even though we may experience loss of some kind, we don't lose the spiritual progress that we've made. Job's hope was firmly anchored to the Lord. And so when hardship came, well, he had nowhere else to go other than to stay with God. You know, you might remember in John chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching, that the Bible says many of those who followed him found his teaching very hard to accept. And what Jesus was saying went against what they wanted him to say. And so we see in John 6 verse 60, the Bible says that many of his disciples said, "This is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?" You know, I think that's what many people are saying about this COVID season. Oh, it's very hard to understand. You know, why does God allow things to happen? Surely he could stop it. Has God maybe lost control of what's happening in the world? But then verse 66 says that at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. You see, they began to lose hope. Is he who he said he was? And why isn't he doing what we think he should be doing? But then it says Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" And Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life." You see, like Job, Peter had placed his hope in Christ. And because hope is an anchor, well, he had nowhere else to go other than to stay with Jesus until things got better. Someone once said that God is not our last hope. He is our only hope. You know, Job's response to hardship was very different to that of his wife. The Bible doesn't tell us much about her apart from a few verses in chapter 2. And we read in verse 9 that his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" And again, in all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. Now we need to remember, and this is something that we often forget or overlook, is that whatever Job lost, his wife also did. I mean, they were married. The Bible doesn't record that he had any other wives. And so she also lost her 10 children and the family business and everything else that Job lost. She was hurting in a big way, and her physical health wasn't affected, but she had to see Job suffer. And most likely she was also the one who had to care for him. And while Job held on to hope and ran to God, it would seem that his wife had lost all hope and even became resentful towards God. And there's a Bible commentator by the name of Dr. Stephen Lawson. And in writing on this, he says of Job's wife that she can't bear to see her husband suffer like this. Her heart, already crushed by the loss of her 10 children, is now without hope. You know, it may also have been that perhaps, and we don't know, but perhaps her hope wasn't in the Lord in the first place. Maybe her hope had been in her children or the family business or all the wealth that they had accumulated. And when those things had perished, because she was anchored to them, well, her hope also perished. Can I encourage you to keep hope alive by staying anchored to the Lord? Can you say amen to that? Secondly, we see that Job's hope was based on God's character, not his own circumstances. You know, the truth is that Job's situation was very bad. His life was filled with trouble. And although he was obviously weighed down by what he had to go through, his hope for the future was based on the flawless character of God. In Job 13, verse 15, we find one of these incredible verses of Scripture. Job declares this. He says of God, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." In other words, even if this thing doesn't work out the way I'm hoping it will, even if the worst happens and I die, I will still continue to put my hope in the Lord. Job had seen the faithfulness of God for his entire life. I mean, God had blessed him and protected him and provided for him. God had kept Job strong physically and healthy. And Job had served God long enough to know that it was better to place his hope in God than to put his trust in his own wisdom and understanding. He kept hope alive by believing that somehow things would change for the better, that God would restore his life. But he acknowledges that even if that didn't happen, as Job said, even though he may slay me, my hope will remain anchored in God. We see that Job's wife had encouraged him to perhaps, you know, maybe consider other options other than God to hold on to. If you read those passages, those chapters, you'll see that Job's three friends were trying to suggest that he must have sinned greatly against God to have all this trouble come into his life. You know, and that's the thing often, isn't it? When we face troubled times or we get sick or business goes under, many of those who are around you, often with good intentions, will try reason why things are the way they are. But the reality is that sometimes life just happens. And when it brings hurt and loss, we must remember who God is and all that He's done in the past. A lady by the name of Catherine Marshall was an American author of more than 30 books with over 16 million copies sold. She had a strong faith and, you know, like with so many people, she also experienced sickness and loss. In 1940, at the age of 26, Catherine Marshall contracted TB, and at that time there was no antibiotic treatment available, and so she spent nearly three full years recovering from the illness, suffering greatly at times, not knowing whether she would recover or not. Then a couple of years later, her husband died of a heart attack and she was left as a single mom to care for their nine-year-old son, Peter. But she kept hope alive and she trusted in the Lord. And today her writings about her experiences have encouraged many other believers. And in writing on the subject of hope, she says this, "Of course you'll encounter trouble, but behold a God of power who can take any evil and turn it into a door of hope." In another place, she says, "God is the only one who can make the valley of trouble a door of hope." Isn't that wonderful, eh? Are you maybe in a valley of trouble today? Maybe like Job, you're sick in your body. Maybe you're battling to overcome COVID. Maybe you lost your job and you've had no source of income for months now. Maybe your business has had to shut down. Listen, these are terrible circumstances. But like Job, if you need a door of hope, would you put your hope in the unfailing character of God? You know, I think the worst thing we can do when life begins to hurt is to focus all our attention on what we're going through, because you know, the more we think about it and the more we talk about it and the more we magnify the hurt, well, the more hopeless we begin to feel. During World War II, there was an Italian man who was a prisoner of war. He was held in a military base in America and he had lost all hope after he learned that his wife back in Italy had died. But the camp commander where he was held, knowing that this Italian man had been a stonemason, asked him if he could design a chapel for the army base. And so this Italian prisoner of war accepted the assignment and he even supervised its construction. You know, today there's a unique chapel that stands at the Letterkenny Army Depot in Pennsylvania. And we see that this former prisoner who had lost all hope found renewed hope when he stopped magnifying his own hurt. You know, it's so important that when life hurts and we find ourselves in seemingly hopeless situations, that we hold on to who God is and we don't magnify all the things that are happening around us. We know that God's character is unchanging, even when things around us change all the time. We know that God is always good, even when things are not good. And we know that the Lord is faithful, even when our own faith sometimes begins to waver. Church, never forget, you can write this down if you're taking notes. Circumstances are temporary, but God is eternal. Circumstances are temporary, but God is eternal. And that thing in your life today that seems hopeless at the moment is also temporary. It can change, and by God's grace, it will change. You know, Job's three friends who tried to comfort him spoke a lot of nonsense to him, but not everything they said was unhelpful. God still used them to bring hope to Job, and we see the words of his friend Bildad as he reminds Job of this. Job 8 verse 21 says, "He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy." You know, I really believe that's a word from God for someone watching today. If you've lost a loved one, or you've lost your work or your income, and you're just currently feeling completely overwhelmed with a sense of hopelessness, friend, know that as the scripture says, He will once again fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. You may not be able to comprehend how that could be possible right now based on how you feel, but hold on to the hope that comes when we put our trust in God rather than looking to our own circumstances. Author Randy Alcorn says, "Don't place your hope in favorable circumstances which cannot and will not last. Place your hope in Christ and His promises." Then thirdly, we see that hope leads us to the road of restoration. You know, one of the dangers we all face when we get hurt because of things that have happened to us or around us is that we can very easily drift away from God. You know, because of the discouragement that people face or as a result of how they feel, well, many lose faith in God. And when faith goes, hope also tends to go. You know, it's good to remember that the opening chapter of Job doesn't tell us how bad Job was. He doesn't list all the wrong things he'd done and how mean he'd been to other people. In fact, the Bible tells us just the opposite. It says of Job that he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. So Job was a godly man. He was integrous. He was full of faith. And yet even his life took a turn that he didn't see coming, and it brought immense hurt into his life. You know, Job could have given up on God, as unfortunately some Christians do when they face trouble, or he could have tried some, you know, other religion or some philosophy of the day to see if that gave him hope. But he didn't do that. He didn't allow his circumstances and the hurt he faced to turn him away from God. Job trusted God, and he trusted that the path that God had set him on was the right one for him. In Job chapter 23, verse 11, he says, "For I have stayed on God's paths. I have followed His ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from His commands, but have treasured His words more than daily food." You see, Job stayed hopeful because he held on to the word of God and onto the truths that he'd lived his whole life according to. Friend, don't just believe God's word when things are going well. Cling to His word, especially when things are not going well, because it is a lifeline. His word is a lifeline for troubled and hurting times. In Job 27 verse 3, he says, "As long as I live, while I have breath from God, my lips will speak no evil and my tongue will speak no lies." You know, if you read through the book of Job, as many of you would know, he does do a fair bit of complaining, but he kept stirring his faith and he didn't allow his heart to turn and become bitter. You know, Job realized that as long as he held on to God and hope, well, he would keep moving forward and he would find a way to get through this. In Job 17, verse 9, he says, "The righteous keep moving forward and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger." You see, you and I can only keep moving forward when we have hope for the future. When you hold on to the Lord during tough times and when you stay on the path that God has set you on, listen, even if it doesn't make sense at the time, you eventually realize that the road you're on becomes a road that leads to great restoration and blessing. Job didn't lose hope, and because he stayed committed to God and to what the Lord was doing in him, God ends up not only restoring Job completely, but actually causes his life to be even more blessed than it was before. In Job 42, verse 10, the Bible tells us that the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also gave Job 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. And then it finishes in verse 16 by saying that Job lived 140 years after that, living to see 4 generations of his children and grandchildren. Then he died an old man who had lived a long, full life. You see, Job's hope allowed for his life to be restored beyond what he could ever have imagined. In the book, Chicken Soup for the Surviving Soul, William Buchholz, who's a medical doctor, tells the story of a conversation that he overheard between 2 oncologists in the hospital cafeteria. And the one oncologist was complaining bitterly to the other one. And he said, "You know, Bob, I just don't understand it. We use the same drugs, the same dosage, the same schedule, and the same entry criteria. Yet I've only got a 22% recovery rate with my patients, and you have a 74% recovery rate with yours." He said, "That's unheard of for metastatic cancer. How do you do it?" And his colleague simply replied and said, "I give my patients hope." He said, "As dismal as the statistics are, I emphasize that we always have a chance of survival." Isn't that amazing that hope is very often the difference between life and death, between those who survive and those who don't, and between those who recover and are fully restored and those who give up. Then lastly, today we see that Job saw his life through the lens of eternity. You know, in Job chapter 19, in the middle of the book, in the middle of his hurt and despair, we find this incredible passage of scripture that really gives us the insight as to why Job held on to hope in spite of all he had lost and the hurt he endured. Job 19, verse 25, he has this revelation from God and he says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought." You know, this was really the turning point for Job. No longer was he overwhelmed by his hurt and his troubles, because Job had the revelation of life after death. Now he was overwhelmed at the thought of one day seeing God face to face. And what that did was it brought a new perspective to his current situation, and it also filled him with hope. You know, and that hope of eternity was really like a rope that kind of pulled him out of the mud and out of the misery that he'd fallen into. You know, when you and I see our own lives through the lens of eternity, not only do we not have to worry about life after death, but we are also filled with hope for the present, for today. You know, I don't know what your struggle or your hurt is today, but if God has kept you alive up to now, then he's not finished working yet. Keep your hope fueled, keep hope alive, and like Job, God can restore to you that which has been taken from your life. The truth is that apart from Jesus, there is no hope for this life or for eternity. The Bible tells us that God became man in Jesus so that he could die for our sins and make us right with God. And the greatest of all hopes that we have is that, as Job recognizes, we've seen that one day we will see the Lord face to face. And for all those who've repented of their sins and surrendered their lives to Christ, well, they will be welcomed into an eternity with God, where, as the Bible tells us, there will be no more hurt or pain or suffering or trouble. Friend, I'm going to pray in a moment, and if you're not right with God and have never surrendered to him in full, then would you pray with me right now? Let's bow our heads. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are good, even when life is not good. Today, Lord, I make a decision to open my heart to you. I receive Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you that because of that, you wash me clean from my sin. Today, Lord, I intentionally repent of my past. Fill me with a hope that comes from knowing Jesus as Lord. Thank you that I do have a hope and I have a future. I surrender to you in full today. In Jesus' name I pray. And all those who prayed that said, Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.